I don't suppose any of us really enjoy paying tax, but it's just one of those things that we do. It's a sort of civic duty. It's certainly our responsibility to render to Caesar what is Caesar's. And so we do pay our tax, even if we do have to grit our teeth and perhaps we object to it at times, but we pay our taxes. It's the right thing to do. The passage which Sandra read for us this morning focuses on one individual who is a tax collector. And if we don't enjoy paying our taxes, well, the attitudes of people towards people, folks, tax collectors like Levi, well, it's in a totally different league. A totally different league. Levi worked for the ruthless Herod Antipas. He was the local ruler, but he was only kept in place because it served the Romans to have him there. So Levi worked for Herod, and Herod worked for the Romans. Levi was a local who basically worked for that occupying force. You can imagine he wasn't very popular. Not only did he take the taxes which Herod required him to do, but like all tax collectors at the time, apparently he would have taken a bit more and put it in his own pocket. Not only did he serve Herod and the Romans, but he also served his own greed. He would have been a local, so he knew where the money was in the community. He sets up his booth here in Capernaum, perhaps on the lake shore. Maybe he's watching fishermen selling and their fish as they bring it in, and he's going and asking for a little bit of tax for Herod. Capernaum was also on that major trade route that ran through the country, so there might have been a toll booth there. As you traveled, you would pay some toll. He was a local. He knew what was going on. He had his ear to the ground. And here he is. And with that background, you can imagine that as people walked past Levi sitting in his booth, they would have muttered under their breath. Perhaps it was more than that. Perhaps they did hurl insults at him. He certainly was not liked. Tax collectors, this group of people who served the Romans, were regarded as outcasts. They were expelled from the synagogue. They weren't allowed to go into the synagogue. They were a disgrace to their community. And they bore all of the brunt of doing that. So in many ways, Levi was most definitely one of those people. You know the ones. The ones that you would rather not be seen with. Those people. The ones that you would rather not have anything to do with. Those people who are beyond the pale. Those people who really should be kept to one side. Levi was one of those people. So whatever did Jesus think he was doing, not only stopping to talk to Levi, but calling him to come and to follow? Jesus reaches out to Levi, this outcast, this disgrace. He reaches out to Levi and says, Levi, come and follow me. And that in itself is startling, but the fact that Levi actually did it is startling also. Jesus simply says, Levi, set all this to one side. Come and follow me. And he does. Can you imagine the surprise, the shock, the outrage, the gossip? Social media would have gone crazy. This Levi is now following after Jesus. But if that wasn't bad enough, worse was to come. For Levi organizes a party for his friends, and Jesus is at that party. So Jesus now sits down and relaxes and eats with Levi and his friends. Verse 15 of that passage that Sandra read for us simply says, he was with tax collectors and sinners. It was a way of simply describing a bad lot. Tax collectors and sinners. And for any Jew to sit down and to share food with someone was a sign of friendship. It was a way that you built friendships. It was a way that you maintained friendships. And we do something similar. We love to eat with people because it's a way to sit down and share For the Jew in Jesus' time, to sit down and to share a meal was a sign of friendship. So if it wasn't bad enough for Jesus to come and call him, to come and follow him, now he sits down with these tax collectors and sinners and shares a meal with them. And there are teachers of the law around, including some Pharisees. And they look at this whole situation and they are genuinely surprised. They're understandably offended. Why does he eat with those people? Why is this Jesus, if he is who he says he is, if he is true to what he is saying, why is this Jesus with those people? Why does he talk to them? Why does he spend time with them? Why does he have a meal with tax collectors and sinners? Why is he there? And by implication, these teachers of the law don't see themselves as part of that group of sinful people. They don't see themselves as part of that group of tax collectors and sinners. They're those people. The teachers of the law have become self-righteous. Those people, and then there's us. And we've got it all right. We've got it all worked out. We know what it is to serve and to follow God. And if only those people were like us, then the world would be a better place. Jesus, don't spend time with those people. You should really be eating with us. You should really be spending time with us, not with those people, Jesus. And then Jesus replies to them with a strange statement. Verse 17, it is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I've come not to call the righteous, but sinners. I wonder how you would feel if you rang your doctor's surgery and asked to speak to the doctor or see the doctor, and you were told, no, sorry, the doctor only sees healthy people. The doctor is only interested in people who are well. You'd be appalled. And Jesus is saying the same thing. It's the job of a doctor to look after those who are ill, those who are unwell. Where else would you expect to find the Savior except with those who need to be saved, who need to be rescued, who need to be brought out of that kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light? You expect to find the Savior with those who need him. For those teachers of the law, it was all about what they could do. They were very good at obeying the law, at making sure they observed every little aspect of the law. Apparently, they were so careful about it that when they were preparing food, they might take a tenth of their herbs and put it to one side because that was dedicated to God. They were meticulous about observing the law. And if only those people could live the way we lived, they would know so much more. They would be so much better. The teachers of the law, for them it was all about what they did, how they lived. The gospel of Jesus Christ, and we see it displayed beautifully here in this incident with Levi, the gospel of Jesus Christ is all about grace. It's all about what God has done for you through Jesus. It's not about what Levi can do. It's not about what Levi has done. It's about what God is doing in Jesus Christ for him as he reaches out with grace. That lovely verse in Ephesians just encapsulates what's going on in this incident with Levi. Ephesians 2, verse 8. By grace you have been saved through faith. And this not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. Levi knew it was all about grace. Levi knew he had done nothing to deserve God's favor and kindness, and yet he called. Those who were looking on critically and judgmentally were thinking, we've done it. We've got it all right. We've got everything set in place. Look at us, how wonderful we are. and they were boasting in themselves, boasting in their own works, their own ability, their own goodness, their own righteousness. And the gospel was all about grace, this free gift. And once, like Levi, you and I experience that grace, that undeserved love of God shown to us in Jesus Christ. Once we experience that grace, then we can't exclude others from that grace. Levi heard Jesus call him and he got up and followed him, and Levi's desire was then that other people would know that grace. And so he brings Jesus into his group of friends and colleagues, and amongst those people, so that they too might know something of the amazing grace, the unending love of God in Jesus Christ. As I look at this passage, it challenges me to think about, who are those people in my life? Who are those people in your life? Are they people who look different? Are they people who live differently? Are they people who vote differently? I read an article this week about a young black man in London, growing up in quite a difficult part of the city, but did very well in school and went on to study law, and was then training to become a barrister, and was constantly met with the phrase, "People like you don't become barristers." And that's in our day. That's not a generation ago. People like you, those people. So who are those people in your life and my life? Because we're very tempted to be self-righteous in our attitude towards them. We're tempted to think, you know what, if you could think the way that I think, if you could live the way that I live, if you could learn to vote the way that I vote, life would be much better. And we deny those people the very grace that God has shown to us in Jesus Christ. For those teachers of the law who are shocked and offended by what Jesus does, it's all about them. It's not about Jesus. And again, it brings me back to that amazing prayer of John the Baptist, that he, Jesus, must become greater and I must become less. Because when Jesus becomes greater, when we experience his grace moment by moment, day by day, then we begin to relate to those people with something of that same grace. Our hope for this life and the life to come is not in what we can do. It's not in putting our own lives in order. It's not in our own righteousness. The hope for those people, whoever they may be, is not in becoming like us. Our hope, the hope of the world, is, as we have sung in Jesus Christ, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. This episode with Levi beautifully displays God's grace and challenges us when we are tempted to become self-righteous, when we classify other people as those people. May God give us the grace to see ourselves and others as we truly are, sinful people who need to experience time and time again this amazing grace of God.